Did you know that BJ Murphy has a podcast called The 20-Minute Morning Show? Check out more than 200 episodes at 20minuteshow.com. It's the BJ Murphy Radio Show.
We have got my brother, Dr. Kendall Jasper, nationally recognized clinical psychologist, and of course, he's a cultural enthusiast. Dr. Kendall Jasper, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. This is one of my big brothers, BJ Murphy, everybody. So this is more than a pleasure. I admire this man, listen to his voice, taking his guidance for over 20 years.
Wow.
So this is great.
When we first met, were you into the mental health?
I was, but I was still going through my school process.
Okay.
Right? So when we first met, BJ, I had graduated undergrad, but I was still in my graduate school process.
Mm-hmm.
And my family was still heavy into music.
Yeah.
You know, we had the music studio off of Moorhead Street.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a family of musicians. My cousin Bryce is in the group Groove Theory.
Yeah.
Producer, Grammy Award winning producer. My brother was a songwriter. My other brother, Kane, is in marketing. So my dad was a singer. He sings now in a band, Al Jasper and Friends.
Wow.
So we were doing a lot of entrepreneurial things, mainly music at that time. So
right.
I was young, you know, in the streets a little bit.
Brother, you still look young. You still look, you
thank
got
you.
A 15,
I'm trying, brother.
16-year-olds, right? And you got a daughter that's graduated.
24.
Wow.
Yeah, 24.
Man.
16, 15, 13, 24.
Go ahead. Well, listen, brother, we want to talk about this pandemic, lockdown for 2 years, people trying to figure out what their next move, people's mentality has changed. What do you see as the number one thing with Black people coming out of the pandemic that we're dealing with?
You know, I think that people have dealt with isolation,
mm-hmm.
right? Missing moments, birthdays, anniversaries,
yeah.
you know, funerals.
Right, right.
Death of loved ones.
Yeah.
We deal with the uncertainty of what's to come,
mm-hmm.
right? If you think about Hurricane Katrina, we're still seeing the effects of Hurricane Katrina 14, 15 years, 16 years later.
Yeah.
And I think that this pandemic and the way that the country shut down and how many people we've lost and the manner in which they've been lost, we're going to continue to see the effects of that for years to come.
Yes.
So I think the jury's still out. But I do think that sometimes people come out of things with I don't have anything to lose attitude,
mm-hmm.
which may not always be the best because mm-hmm. it lends itself to careless behavior, careless thought process, not valuing their own life and maybe other lives mm-hmm. in the same way. And also being insensitive to maybe others who've experienced more trauma than you have.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's the part of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
People have experienced COVID in different ways. I myself have had family members who have been significantly impacted by COVID.
Right.
But I haven't lost anybody.
Right.
Right? You have other people that have lost their parents, yes. siblings, children.
And then not being able to be beside them when in their last moments.
Absolutely.
Man. Oh, my God. That's dramatic.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm doing this campaign, man. We can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been awesome. It's all about education. It's all about bridging health disparity gaps. Right. And I think that there's not many limits on how it can change and how this national campaign can impact folks because they've got their sort of hand on the pulse of what's next.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy to be a part of that campaign and be able to say, hey, listen, here's a resource. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we can do. This has shown themselves to be committed to, and I'm happy to support that.
So the We Can Do This COVID campaign, I know you don't like to use the term mental health.
Yeah, because they think it's a dirty word.
Yeah.
And you kind of, it's almost like trickology. You know, I'm big on calling it what it is. I don't like using the word crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Like professionally.
Yeah.
You know, personally, I might be in the streets with my homeboys. Yo, bro, you crazy.
Right, right.
Right? But that's just sort of colloquialism. But if that's the clinical term for it, I don't cringe. We can call it health. We can call it wellness. We can call it whatever we want to as long as we're engaging in the action and creating access to resources and really, really showing folks that we care about what they're dealing with.
Now, in the Black community, you know, we've been dealing with mental health, but we didn't know it, right? Because everybody had that uncle that lived up in the attic, and during Thanksgiving, he'll come down and get a plate.
There's
Jimmy.
Man, with a trench coat on and a cigarette in his hand and right. dirty fingernails.
And he go get his plate and go back upstairs.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So we were dealing, that's a mental health situation.
Day.
Right.
We've been dealing, listen, man, there's no race of people that are immune
yeah.
to mental health and health and wellness issues,
mm-hmm.
period.
Yeah.
No race of people. We aren't any different.
Mm-hmm.
And then you compound that with the fact that we have also dealt with things that other races and ethnic groups in this country haven't dealt with.
Yeah.
It's almost like doubling down on what already is a condition or issue that people naturally deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of incubate it in a way that is going to make it or exacerbate it or make it worse.
Right.
And I'm talking about racism, prejudice, and discrimination.
Coming out of COVID-19 with the great resignation, but all these people resigning, like you remember, I think it started like in November, 4.5 million people resigning. Then in December is another 4.5, January. So this is a result of people having a chance to think and say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to suffer. They're doing it for their own mental mm-hmm. health, well-being, right?
Well, some are. Some got some serious PPP and SBA loans.
Right.
Like I, yeah, you know.
I yeah, yeah.
My fault, bro. That was a layup, BJ. You right, kind of laid me up there. So some folks didn't have the forethought to think about, you know, what when that PPP money
yeah,
run
right.
out.
You're right.
You know, or that SBA loan, that EIDL loan that they got.
That's PPP health.
Yeah, that's that PPP health. And that ain't an HMO. That, you know what I mean? PPO. That's a different kind of plan.
Right.
But I also think, on the serious side, I think that gives people an opportunity to identify what's most valuable to them, mm-hmm. right? And when you sit in those quiet moments and you start to recognize that life is finite.
Yes.
The physical form of life is finite. And what's most important to you, some people say, hey, I've got to go about this a different way. I want to improve my quality of life in a different way, in the way that I was going about things. Just isn't working. It isn't resonating with me now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how can you argue with some of that? If people are doing things that create peace or making an attempt to create peace for them while they're here,
mm-hmm.
you can't argue with that.
I think COVID really woke a lot of people up, man. I mean, even myself, like striking out, trying to do something on my own. When an industry is dying and you're waiting on that phone call for somebody to say, hey, brother BJ, come on, work with our station. And it never happens. It drives a lot of people crazy.
Sure.
And a lot of people have been suffering because of a lack of their professional career happiness is dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you can come up with some mental health problems because you start doing an improper comparison with your friends that's still doing it, but you ain't.
Sure. I mean, it makes you evaluate your self-worth, right?
Mm.
But you're evaluating your self-worth based on the perceptions of other people. And I think that that's very tricky, right? It may not be that you not getting a job may have nothing to do with you not being good enough to do that job. It could do with timing, right? It could do with the relationships with the people who are looking to hire you, who may don't deal with you in that way, right? There are all sorts of reasons, right? But we attach sometimes that we're not good enough
yeah.
associated with why we haven't achieved or accomplished or arrived in a moment. And maybe sometimes has nothing to do with that. And maybe that's a sign to say, I need to commit myself or recommit myself to finding my own way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Understand all that comes with that, because yeah. that's not an easy road.
Right.
Right? And I'm not encouraging or discouraging in that way. I'm just saying that maybe sometimes you take matters into your own hands.
Is the number one health, mental health issue, and what you just mentioned, is that we are seeking approval from other people. And when we don't get that, it drives people crazy. It makes them commit suicide. You know, the little children rejected from a group, they're bullied. And then the 3-year-old kills herself, hangs herself. Come on.
Well, I think that that's a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that we are in a society that reinforces the idea that we need to seek approval from other people.
Yeah.
Right. I think that. From a let's talk about it from a parenting perspective, right? As a child, children look to their parents to seek approval for the things, the behaviors that they engage in, they don't engage in, because they've learned through whatever model paradigm that's used that if I engage in this, maybe a consequence for it, whether it's a positive or negative reward,
mm-hmm.
right? So we look to our parents and we identify, hey, listen, this is okay. Over time, as a parent, some of that understanding and idea that you look towards me to seek approval for what you do needs to be somewhat unwritten. And mm-hmm. we transition from it being explicit to it being, you know, much more subtle in the idea that I've given you the tools to then make some of these decisions for yourself.
Right.
But we also need to do a better job of talking to our children and allowing them the room and space to express themselves about how they feel.
Yeah.
Not in a, I don't want to say in a black people way, but you know, sometimes we can be a very authoritarian, like, listen, you don't have a thought, I'm going to give that thought to you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you understand what
yes,
I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
And I grew up to a certain degree in some of that, but I think that it's important for us to recognize and understand that you seek approval when it's time to seek approval from other people, when it involves and impacts other individuals. But where are we strong enough to say, I've earned this, I've learned this, I have the experience, and nobody else's approval is necessary for me to understand that there are certain decisions that I need to make for me.
Come on.
Right? That's like,
yeah.
Selfish in a way, and if we're saying ish, intentionally safeguarding our health.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the ISH.
Right.
Myself, my self-care, intentionally, I'm going to safeguard my health with the decisions I need to make.
All right, well, Doc, help people do that without feeling guilty that they are actually being a selfish person, taking into consideration your, like, I got this thing, like, man, I don't give a crap what anybody thinks about me anymore. It took me a long time to get to that point, even in my 50s, brother.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm free now. It doesn't bother me anymore, you know?
Well, again, it goes back to what you're saying about people seeking approval. I think that you have to consistently do that work.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to practice these things, right? Yeah. Self-talk, self-reflection, to understand and identify who you are, where you are, what you're doing, what you're not doing, and how it may be impacting others. Most importantly, how it's impacting you. I think that there's a way to be healthy in that selfish approach that doesn't involve you shunning anyone else. Or, you know, turning a blind eye to some things or not even lending yourself to providing help and support for other people.
Right.
But there's a way to protect yourself. Listen, man, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Right, right. That's right.
So the idea that you can, and people do this on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
They're unhealthy in their own lives
and
they give so much to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they come back home, there's nothing left to give for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you think you can keep up that process, or that can't be a consistent equation for success for you in your life? Somebody's going to feel cheated there. And when you go home and you're in your private moments, you're only there with you and your own thoughts.
Come on. What about that self-talk, brother? You just mentioned that. Like, you know, when we see we see our people walking down the street talking to themselves, we say, you know, that's they're crazy.
He on one.
Well, we're talking about a different kind of self-talk.
Yeah. Right? And it doesn't always have to be out loud.
Yeah.
There's an internal thought process that occurs that you talk to yourself in that way, right? About the things that you do, can't do, willing to do, where your limits are, right? And I'm not saying you say no to everything in that type of way. You manage yourself appropriately and you always take time for yourself. I think that's the most important piece.
Really just thinking about yourself, especially our women, because they take on so much. What's the number one thing when people sit down and talk to you, that's kind of a common thread of issues?
Most people experience a level of depression and anxiety, right? Where there's one, there's the other. You show me an anxious person, more often than not, they have some depression issues. You show me a depressed person, more often than not, they have some anxiety issues.
Yeah.
So more often than not, common-wise, people deal with a lot of depressed mood, a lot of anxiety about the things that are going on in their life. People engage in a lot of activities and behaviors that are an exercise in futility, right? Trying to understand what someone else is thinking, why they engaged in a certain behavior without asking them or knowing, allowing themselves to not do certain things or do certain things because they're very concerned about how it's going to be perceived by others, consistently engaging in comparisons with other people, something you mentioned, almost keeping up with the Joneses, right?
And that's through social media, too.
Absolutely.
That's a killer, right?
And social media has vaulted that up to the top, of course, because people on social media are selling lifestyles that maybe they're not even living themselves.
Right.
Right? But you see this person is going to this place and that place, and they're doing this and that. And now you're in the mode of saying, I know him. Like, how did he get there? And I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we're all running our own race. Right. Sometimes it's a relay.
That's right.
Other times you're running that race by yourself. And I think that sometimes people get lost in that process because we're so worried about the noise and the machine everywhere else.
Right. Black people's problems, right, are different from the rest of society. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've been through slavery. We're still dealing with the effects of that. Our parents and the way they disciplined us through the whip, you know, that switch and that floss water. You know, a lot of us, we stopped doing it to our children because I remember I tried to give my son a whipping and he ran out of the house and I had that belt. I said, "Hey, man, where you going?" And he just kept running. And that's the last time he was 6 years old. That's the last time I whipped him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just talk to him now, right? And I think that, you know, we can just talk to our children because we're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We're the highest form of creations that can reason with each other.
Sure.
I mean, our problems are just different, and we should be able to talk to a black therapist that understands our condition.
Sure. Some of our problems are different. You know, some problems exist, of course, regardless of the race or the ethnicity.
Yeah.
I think that the experience of racism and the way that we've experienced prejudice and discrimination makes us vastly different.
Yeah.
And you can look at statistics that shows that in every statistical category, there's huge gaps between us and other ethnic groups,
mm-hmm.
whether it's education, finance, health and wellness, judicial, there are huge disparities between us and other groups.
Mm-hmm.
For that reason, and understanding the cultural nuances of us, it is important for us to be able to work with us.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that's always going to solve our issues,
right?
Because you can learn from other cultures.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. But I think that we need to make ourselves available in a way that shows that we're able to step up and help each other. And I think that the most important thing that I've learned in this process is the idea that it can be magical sometimes to walk in the room and the black folks in the room didn't know that I'm Dr. Kendall Jasper.
Yeah.
And then I walk into the room and it takes on a vastly different feel.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, more often than not, they're very proud
mm-hmm.
that I'm in the room with them. Number two, my realness
mm-hmm.
creates a connectivity with them feeling like there isn't much difference between you and I.
Yeah.
And I feel comfortable talking to you. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. you are a right brother with me. Like yeah. you, I expected you to be different.
Right.
And I'm like, no, this is who I am. And this is who my parents raised me to be in that way. And I've watched them commit themselves to service in that way and be real and authentic.
Yeah.
And I think it matters.
That's right. How did our grandparents deal with mental health issues? I mean, have you ever done a contrast?
They didn't.
Oh, God.
Right? They didn't feel like they could afford to.
Mm.
Right? And they dealt with it in a very spiritual way,
mm-hmm.
which is vastly different than how we have dealt with it. And yeah. that's why our bishops and reverends became the pillars and very important in that community because they talked to them about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
From issues in the family to our spiritual compass and where that was going. Politics, right?
Yeah.
That was the hub for everything.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say they didn't because they experienced it, but they dealt with it in a vastly different way because along the fight for equality and to make attempts to smoke out and eradicate discrimination, a lot of times those things they couldn't afford to address and be vulnerable in that way because there was a fight that was bigger than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That we had to attain and reach.
Yeah.
And that's equality for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because maybe they realized that it would continue to perpetuate if we didn't get to a point where we desegregated and equality existed for us, even though we still deal with it anyway.
Let's talk about the death culture in America. Black folks are becoming numb to death. You told a story about when you were growing up in New York, how you stepped over a body.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all were going to the movie. You just stepped over the body.
Going to see Bruce's Man.
Right,
I was 8 years old.
Right. So you said that you remember that time just like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So with all the killing that's going on today, how do you think our young people mentally are dealing with this death culture?
Some of it is not real for them until it becomes real.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many virtual outlets for them that desensitize them to the realness of interactions
mm-hmm.
and social interactions, along with video games.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem real to them until it's in their face. And
right.
I think that we've missed some of that connectivity in that way.
Yeah.
Right. We grew up during a time when all we really had was television.
Mm-hmm.
The programming on TV wasn't nearly as in your face and as violent and open as it was, as it is now.
Exactly.
So I think that over time, those things have a significant impact on your psyche, on your mentality, on your approach. And I think that we're seeing some of that. And I also think that we've also seen a breakdown in family structure over time. Some of the morals and lessons that we learned, we've moved away from in certain ways. Our communities don't look the same. Mm-hmm. Our communities, even if they were impoverished in the past, had a code of conduct.
There you go.
Right? Because
yeah, we had a code, yeah.
We were all poor together. My grandparents mm-hmm. live right next door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My grandmother watched me after school every day in elementary school, right? And I remember those lessons in a different way. And some of that has changed now.
This past week in Texas, mm-hmm. I mean, these 16, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, they're the ones that are doing all the killing, man.
Well, it's some of it's about imagery, right? And some of it is about being able to distinguish reality from fantasy, right? So, you know, it's very hard to stop kids from engaging or being exposed to some of these things.
Yeah.
What it would be easier to do is to have a conversation with them, mm-hmm. right? As parents, as adults, about the difference between reality and fantasy. I always like to use wrestling as a great example of that, right? Mm-hmm. Most kids grow up watching wrestling and they get to a point where they realize it's fake and it isn't real.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes they learn that the hard way by trying some of the wrestling moves on their brother or their homeboy and can't do the DDT without it hurting your neck. Right?
Right.
So this is for entertainment. There are real life consequences associated with those types of actions in real life. Mm-hmm. And you need to understand the difference and you need to be able to then understand that there are other real things that are going on that you need to commit yourself to. While we let you watch that for entertainment, understand that that comes with a price in real life. Mm-hmm. And the things that are most important are education. How are you as a member of this society? How are you representing yourself and your family? Mm-hmm. And those are the conversations that we need to be having. How are you managing your own wellness as a person? Mm. As you're encoding and taking in all of this information that sometimes you're not even old enough, you know, or physiologically developed enough mm-hmm. to manage and deal with, because abstractly you're not at that developmental level where you can decipher some of that. So some of it is about managing it. Some of it is also about having those discussions. And clearly you need to understand that you cannot go out here like on Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty and be a soldier.
Say, hey, look, I want some help. I'm dealing with these issues. And you just unravel it over the course of time until you feel like this person has a grasp on reality and fantasy or whatever they're going through.
Well, I don't make that determination. The person sitting across from me makes that determination. Okay. And what I mean by that is, doesn't mean that I don't make the recommendation that we've reached an end here, but you have to identify where someone is in the process, right? And how far they've progressed and what they've taken from it. And you pay attention to their thoughts, their opinions, their actions, and if they're being different than when they came in and what goals they wanted to achieve, right? This is a very person-centered, you let them run the process. I'm here to be a sounding wall, be objective, reframe things back to you, ask you certain questions, give you recommendations and suggestions. I don't really give too much advice. Mm-hmm. Worst vice is advice sometimes. So I ain't really big in the advice business, but, you know, it depends on what someone's dealing with. But I'll tell you this, BJ, I think that it's never a bad time to go see somebody.
Absolutely.
Even if it's just some routine things that you need to get off your chest. Consider me like a really good friend.
Yeah.
That you can talk about all your friends and family members about, and then I'm confidentially bound not to say something to them. So you don't even have to worry about it going, getting back to them.
So, okay, that's beautiful what you just said. Now that gives you a different comfortable feel. It's like, I want to talk to somebody about what I'm dealing with my professional life. You can't talk to family members because they'll judge you, but I can come talk to you and you're going to listen to me without judging me. And help me unravel what I'm thinking. This make suggestions, because you say you don't give advice, but mm-hmm. you just help the person to understand what they're going through.
Absolutely. And again, I'm not here to judge you in that way. I'm here to listen. I'm here to say, hey, here's are the things that you stated when you came in you wanted to accomplish or achieve, right? Or maybe in my deductive reasoning process, my analytical process, I've identified a theme across your life that maybe you weren't aware of, that maybe I need to bring to your attention. And here's kind of how it played out, and help me make sense of it, and let's talk about it, right? Not that there's this huge discovery process on my end, but I do want you to engage in a self-discovery process.
Right, right.
Better learn yourself, understand yourself, what you tolerate, what you don't tolerate, things like that.
I like that. So that makes people feel more comfortable with going to see a clinical psychologist, where it's not about you being something wrong with you. You're just trying to get somebody to talk to you to help you be a better person, better you.
Listen, man, people have a physical every year, usually. Why are we not doing the same thing with a mental health examination or physical every year, if not twice a year?
I love that.
Right, because the prevalence of mental health and health issues is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And we all experience emotion, right? We aren't devoid of emotion. In a day, you may get sad, happy, angry, fearful, anxious, elated. You cannot remove yourself from that emotional wheel, so to speak.
So Dr. Kendall Jasper,
mm-hmm.
answer this question. Have people given up on being happy, like to experience bliss, to experience like the joy when they wake up in the morning and say, man, I'm happy, man?
No, I don't think people overall. I think people are still hopeful,
mm-hmm.
right? And that drives people to have hope. So I don't think people have given up. I think that you have some people, due to their life experience and circumstance, have just as many thoughts, if not more thoughts, of hopelessness and worthlessness than they do hope at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I do think that people haven't necessarily given up. But I do think that it's incumbent upon us as a unit of people, and I say all people, not just black folks, mm-hmm. white folks, Asians, Latinos, right, to do better community-wise
mm-hmm.
with each other. Mm-hmm. We exist in this space. And this is not a kumbaya moment,
mm-hmm.
but I will say that, you know, we could do a better job of how we are with each other. And then I think it's incumbent upon the powers that be to understand that in order to change the course of where we're going, there has to be a significant emphasis on health and wellness for people. It's hard to be productive or optimally productive without your health and your wellness.
So what's the example of a mental health break or a self-care break? Those are buzzwords right now that everybody's using.
I would say that for me, it starts with what your resources are,
mm-hmm.
and a pleasant activity, whatever it could be a self-care break,
mm-hmm.
right? So in a very corny way, people watching at the park could be a self-care break, right? I've gotten into golf.
Mm, okay.
You know, I like to play golf. Golf is a self-care break for me, right? Sometimes I find myself going into the gym with a basketball and just putting up shots is a self-care break for me, because I still love the game.
Yeah.
Enjoying time with family. You know, I know spades games for black folks can get kind of intense, but sometimes a spades game can be a self-care break, brother.
Right.
Especially if you got that big joker, you're the boss at the table, you know. So it just depends, you know, on what's realistic for you. The worst thing that I can do is sit across from somebody and suggest something to them that they don't have the resources or capability to engage in. So let's talk about what's in your natural environment and what's available to you in order to engage in some form of a self-care break.
Yeah. Self-care break for me is like walking now. I like to walk every morning. And when I feel like during the day sometimes, when I'm feeling a little stressed out, I put my sneakers on, I just go for a walk.
Hey, you know, nothing wrong with it. But it matters and it helps you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that physical exercise is also very important.
That's right. So we can do this, the mental health education campaign. What do you hope to accomplish throughout the course of 2022?
Educate, educate, educate. Put information in front of people. Ensure that they're being educated about decisions. and ways to keep themselves safe, whether they decide to get vaccinated or not. I think that these types of campaigns are public health campaigns that are absolutely necessary for people to understand that they're hearing something from a trusted source mm-hmm. that isn't a lot of, you know, sometimes, you know, I hate to pick on us, but listen, it's only the truth because our homeboy said it was the truth, right? Yes. We didn't fact check.
Yeah, right.
Jamal at all. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, we didn't fact check him at all, but Jake said it was true. So I go back to other group, like, yo, I just heard, man, come on, man.
Right, right, right.
Where he get that from?
Right.
Right. So this is one of those campaigns that comes from a source where they're getting their information directly from other trusted sources.
Yes.
And then engaging in activations across the country. So, for example, I participated in a virtual town hall several weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That was very informative. Mm-hmm. Myself and two medical doctors, that was very informative.
Okay.
COVID and the impact that it's having on mental health in the Black community.
Right.
And I think that those are the types of activities and events that need to be happening. And they're more than willing to go into our communities and mm-hmm. do it. Yeah. It ain't you come to us. We're going to come to you.
Awesome. That's awesome, man.
Which is very important.
That's right. So give out your social media contacts where people can contact you, Doc.
So I have two handles. It's at Doc and a Dude. At DOCNDADUDE, and then also at Dr. Kendall Jasper, DRKENDELL, JASPER. Just give me a shout, holler at me more often than not. If it gets kind of lengthy in my DMs, I give you my email address and say, hey, email me your issue and see if I can be a resource to you.
That's right. Do you have a staff of other psychologists to help out?
Oh, a staff of other licensed clinicians. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Jasper Psychological is my private practice. ARJ is our comprehensive mental health company. And okay. our offices are here in Charlotte off of Village Lake Drive. And we provide an array of services. But we have several licensed clinicians that work with me and alongside me in providing the various services that we provide to people.
That's awesome, man. I'm so proud of you, man.
Thank you, B. It means a lot, man. Truly it does, brother.
Yeah, it means a lot to me when I see you out here, you know, helping our people with their mental health, because you know, if you ain't got no mental health, I was learning about the pituitary gland the other day, mm-hmm. and how, you know, that nutrition is important. Oh, right, man.
It's extremely important. Mm-hmm. Extremely important. They it's all aligned. It goes together, man. From your nutrition to your sleep, you know, and the importance of sleep and proper rest, mm-hmm. You know, to mental exercises and practices that you engage in, they are all related.
Yes. Wow.
You know what I mean? So it's important.
Right. So much to learn, but we're going to continue the learning process here with our brother, Dr. Kendall Jasper, nationally recognized clinical psychologist, cultural enthusiast. Man, we thank you for being on the show today, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, BJ.
The 20-Minute Morning Show is a podcast production of BJ Murphy Media. The show is written and produced by BJ Murphy and executive producers Sabre Robinson and Alexandria Davis. From our studios in Charlotte, North Carolina, check out more episodes on our website at 20minuteshow.com.